Good morning, everybody. This is the Heritage Radio Bible Class, and it is our privilege to be your host here for the next hour. And we thank you for the privilege of that. It's wonderful to be able to come into your homes, wonderful to hear the response that we get, that you enjoy that, and that really makes us happy, because it's the Word of God that really counts. I mean, if we didn't know the Word of God, we wouldn't know how to go to heaven, would we? God's Word said in John 3:16, God loved the world. Man, that's everybody. Gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him would never perish, but have everlasting life. Isn't it wonderful to go to the Bible and get just about any question you would have to get answered from the Word of God if you know where to go? Now, what we're going to start on here, because we've been on Bible prophecy clear on out to the end, to the new heavens and the new earth, and this morning we're going to start a new series and on what something is. When I see it, I look at a person, they don't want to talk to you, they don't want you to say anything against their religion. And what it is a religion of, you know, what about this thing of a man marrying a man? And this is beginning to be sort of popular around in some places, you know, some areas. And it seems like that. In fact, we had one here in Minnesota, and he's going to run for the presidency of the United States, but he's married to another man. And well, what does the Bible say about this? Because it seems like nobody knows. You know, it's just, we are supposed to accept that and so forth. Well, I'll tell you right now, I do not accept it because God doesn't accept it. And my opinion is, I'm going along with the Lord, not going along with these misfits that try to pretend to be something and don't want to take the responsibility of a marriage with a woman, not another man, and having children the way God intended. So we're going to give you some verses and show you what God says about a man marrying a man or a woman marrying a woman. So we're going to do that and begin with this. So to start off with, I want to ask you, get your Bible out, because I want you to follow on these verses that we go through here this morning. And you can get it out. I'm going to wait a couple of minutes here till you go over to the book of Romans in chapter 1. Get your book, your Bible right out, because that's what we're going to read from. That's what we're going to preach about and tie in other things to go with it. Let God tell you what he thinks about the whole situation. Okay? And what it is. Now, we come, I hope you got it open, Romans chapter 1, and we're going to read here in verses 18 to 22. So we're going to get started here. Okay, in verses 18 to 22. In verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. In other words, they think doing evil, the truth of it is, it's all right. As long as we don't hurt anybody. Because, in verse 19, because that which may be known of God is manifested in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him, and but became vain in their vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Now the point is here, yes, they knew these things here because of God and the things that he has showed them and so forth like that. And you just look out here that, you know, they don't seem to believe that God created everything and so forth. But you know that God has shown all the things to make America a very special place. And out of this whole universe of things, then God had to do a lot of things in order to make it profitable for a man to have live on this earth. And you have in the atmosphere and so forth, you have just the right combination of I should say, the things that make us with oxygen, things like that, and just exactly the right combination so that it will be for human life. You have the moon, just the right distance from there, so you have the right things as far as the ocean and so forth, with its waves coming in and so forth like that, and there, or it would be covered totally with water. We wouldn't have a place to live in else, and us would be on a boat somewhere and there. But all of these things, and then you have just 40 miles up in the air. You've got a thing up there that has to filter out the deadly rays of the sun that would kill every human on this earth here. Now it's up there, 40 miles up in the air, all over around this earth, in order to center the things of the sun coming through and so forth that would be dangerous to man and so forth. Isn't that amazing? How did God know to do that? You know, and everything like that. So when you really get down to it, God formed this earth for man and for man's habitation. Now, we're going to find out here the next thing that we're going to do, because we're going to show you what God thinks about one man marrying another man. You know, he has a lot to say about that. Now, so forth. So we're going to Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18, if you'd like to turn over there. Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. Okay? So the Lord said, "It is not good that man should live here and be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him." So, it's not good that a man should be alone. I'll make him a helpmeet for him. So God's first understanding is, he needs to have some help. You know, he needs to have a companion and so forth. We don't want all men on here. Now, if we're over here now, also, if you'll go while you're in Genesis, to chapter 2, verse 24. All right? "Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." And therefore, God says, I've created a female and a male, put them together so we could replenish the earth. And there. Now the next thing, while you're in Genesis here, let's go to chapter 3, verse 20. All right? "Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living." Isn't that an interesting thing? But we're going to find out too, yes, but we're going to find that they were husband and wife. Also, we'll get that as we go on down, okay? Let me see if I can here, where I want to keep going here to these verses here. Okay, there's a man there. Okay. Here in verse, did we say Genesis 2:24? Did we give that one out, didn't we?
Yep.
That's what I thought we did. "Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." Now we're going back down here, if you will, in Genesis 3:20. "Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living." Now, in Romans, we're going back there to chapter 1, and we're going to continue reading the verses in verse 22 to 28. All right? In verse 22, let's pick it up. Here we go. 22 to 28. Now, in verse 22, "Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image, and made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanliness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves." Now, isn't that something? Between themselves. "Now, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worship and serve the Creator more than the Creator, or the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, and even their women did change the natural use unto that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, having the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was met. Well, that's sort of interesting. Verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do the things which are not convenient. So we're going to stop there. Look at some other things now. Because we want to know, they don't think anything's wrong with that and do what they want to do. They have a right to do it and so forth like that. But we're going to find out some things. If we go here, and I'd like for you to go to the book of Leviticus, chapter 18, verse 22. And we'll see what that says. There's a lot of verses that say the same thing. But anyway, that's what we want to know. Go to Leviticus, chapter 18, verse 22, just a very simple statement. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination. Now, while you're over there, go to two chapters, to chapter 20, in verse 13. All right? Leviticus, chapter 20, in verse 13. Here's what it says. If a man also lie with mankind as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination, they shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. Well, God says, this isn't why I created mankind. Truthfully, you need to die. You need to get out of the situation. You don't appreciate being here and having the privilege to marry a woman and so forth like that. And very interesting. Now, let's go here and we're going to read on from Romans 1, verses 29 to 32. All right, in verse 29. And being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, and maliciousness, full of envy and murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. So, if you are a man that you want to go marry another man, then you have a problem. I think when I see that, I know when I got graduated from high school, my wife had been, we've been dating for probably a year and a half or so, or maybe 2 years, and we wanted to get married so we could have a family and to do that, and that's what we did. So we got married pretty close, a couple of months after we graduated, or there I think it was. And anyway, we've been married now, I think it's, 68 years, I think. That's pretty long time, and something like that. And so that's what God wanted us to do, even though I wasn't a Christian. I mean, that's just the thing you do, don't you? I mean, you date a woman, you don't go out and date a man, what do you want to date him for? You know, you want to kiss another man? Shake his hand. That's good enough for me. I'm not going to kiss him or anything. But this is what you have today, putting this into society and even putting a man up here in the state of Minnesota who's married to another man and he's running for the presidency of the United States of America. I don't know how stupid you think other people are that would even think about that. If you're that mixed up in your mind and have such a warped mind, what in the world do you think you would do if you got to be the president here, or not the president, but the leader here, or the governor, or the state, or so forth? What do you think people would think? I know what you would do. Everything you shouldn't do. Because you've already started out on the wrong path, fella. So we're going to look down and see what God thinks about that. We can do that. You know, now, we're coming on down and we find out that we are not here in order to lie with another mankind and so forth like that, and with a woman. Both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. God's opinion is you don't deserve to live in the United States of America or any other country in this world that I created for human beings to live on here and enjoy being why I created I created them and so forth. Now, we find out here, we come in the end of verse 32. Let's read on down, if I can, if we will here. Okay. He says here, without understanding, covenant makers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, you do know the judgment of God. Don't say that you don't. And that they which commit such things are worthy of death, and not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them, but which commit such things are worthy of death. God says you are not worthy to be living anymore in the continent and going against God which created you to replenish the earth here and so forth. Well, that's very interesting. So, we look at this and see what these people have done. And I want to read this one more time, if I can, because God tells them, these ones that are married to another man and so forth, and he describes. I want to read it again to you, and you got to get your Bible out and read it for yourself. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, and whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despicable or proud boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, knowing the judgment of God. They know that. They know the judgment of God because they have this sensibility about them to know. They know that what they're doing is wrong. And I always wondered, what a matter are you, man? Are you such a little baby that you don't want the responsibility of marrying a wife? Are you afraid of having a responsibility of having to, as far as support her and so forth? And if you have children, to raise children, that you're, you don't want to do that? What do you do? I mean, what good is it down here for you to be down here when it's God's will that He made a man to, and a woman to have conception and bear children? That's why you're here. You're not here to be kissing another man, going to bed and having sex with him when you're not doing anything that God wants you to do at all. You are a pervert. You perverted yourself from doing what God wants you to do as an individual that God created. And as far as having a marriage with a woman, why would you not want to? Something's got your mind so warped that you don't want the responsibility of having to support a wife or a family. And yet you could have a wonderful wife that does as much to support you as you support her. There are a lot of women that help support the family, especially in sometimes when we have the times that we're looking at times, you know. Now, another thing I'd like for you to look at is to replenish the earth in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. God tells you why that He has here and why He wants the earth replenished. Well, you can't replenish the earth if you don't have a wife in order to become pregnant with your sperm and therefore replenish the earth, and you have the responsibility and also the happiness of raising a son out of your life, you know. Now, it says, so God created man in His own image, in His image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. And in verse 28, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it. Now, in Proverbs chapter 18, in verse 22, it says this, that whosoever findeth a good thing, and obtaineth favor of the Lord. How wonderful that is, isn't it? Huh? Replenish the earth, Genesis 1:27. So God created man in His image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. Verse 28 again. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it. Proverbs 18:22. Whosoever findeth a wife, and so forth, and findeth a good thing, and obtaineth favor of the Lord. Now that's sort of interesting. Now, I'd like for you here to go over with me to Leviticus here, and I'd like for you to look there. Leviticus chapter 20, verse 14, I believe it is. Leviticus chapter 20, in verse 14 or 12. Leviticus 20, it's in verse 12 here. If a man lie with his daughter-in-law, both of them shall surely be put to death. They have wrought confusion, and their blood shall be upon them. If a man lieth with his father's wife, hath uncovered his father's nakedness, and both of them shall surely be put to death, their blood be upon their own. And if a man lie with a mankind, as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed, my page turned here, hath committed an abomination, and they shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. God says, if you're going to have an affair with another man, I didn't create you this way. I want to replenish the earth. I want you to have seed, and I want you to have other people out of your life that love me and have died on the cross to pay for my sins, that you can raise them in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Why do you reject that? I think it's because you're a coward. You're afraid to take the responsibility. And if you want to just quit a job or something, you can do it without the responsibility of supporting your wife and children you would have that would love you as a father. You don't want anything to do with that. Now, your mind has to be so warped because God didn't create you that way. And He let you know what He wanted. And He created you, therefore, in order to be able, in order to have children, and you be the father of those. And how true that is. And He also, for you to repopulate the earth, so that this earth grows with people because of you. And you're out there with some man that you got no business being out there with, and God says, you're worthy of death. That's what God thinks of you, because you're going against everything God said. And you know that He is the Creator. You know these things before you do it. And you're just going one step ahead and keep doing it so that you have no responsibilities in this life whatsoever. And if you're married to a man, oh my goodness gracious. Now I will tell you something about this. And because they always say, do you not want to have anything to do with them? Well, I think I told this once before. We were visiting some friends and they were thinking about starting a Bible study down there. So anyway, I went out and I was just going from door to door. And I visited this one where the man came to the door and he was not really happy, but he wasn't really mad either. He just couldn't figure out who I was because he didn't know me or anything. And I said, well, I'm a pastor of a church, not out of town. And so we got talking. I said, well, I'd just like to talk to you because my whole main thing is that God loved me and I'm going to heaven when I die. And I would like to, for you to make sure that you're going to heaven. And it is simple because you don't have to do anything. The only thing you have to do is accept, A-C-C-E-P-T. You accept what Christ did for you, and He put it in the Bible because He loved you. And I said, we're going to have a Bible study here now in a couple of nights now, and would you like to come? He said, no, me and my husband. Oh my goodness gracious, here have I heard a mess, you know. Me and my husband were moving to one of the states out west, because in that particular state they don't care about you smoking or your marijuana and stuff like that or whatever. So he said, that's why we're moving out of there, so we can be free and use whatever drugs we want to use. I said, well, so much for that, but let me explain to you how you can know you're going to heaven, and then you make a decision whether you want to go there or you want to go to hell. Now, I don't want you to go to hell, neither does God, because He died and paid for your sins. And we asked Him, what the time was it there? And I said, that's the time from Christ. It's dated from Him. It's A.D. You date A.D. That's after death. And so forth. So that's Anno Domini, the year of our Lord. and that's what it means. So anyway, he said to me, I went on to explain to him how much God loved you. Never said one more word about him being married to another man, because here's something that a Christian make a lot of mistake in. You could get him to quit his sinning and going, and he'll still go right straight to hell. And I mentioned anything derogatory about him living with another man, married to another man, he would have asked me to leave right away, and I couldn't witness to him about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm thinking to myself, I'm going to try to lead him to the Lord. And what he doesn't understand is, the minute if he'll trust Christ tonight, the Holy Spirit indwells him, and the Holy Spirit doesn't take a nap. So he's going to have to live with the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And dear Lord, find another Christian out there that will show him that this is not what God wants you to do with your life and waste it. But I got to get him saved. And if I'm going to get him saved, I can't get into the life he's living now. Because, first of all, Paul the Apostle killed Christians, and yet God used him to write 14 of 27 books of the Bible. Good night. God can use anybody. You know. So, anyway, we kept going there a little bit. And the thing that got him was, I said, you know, every time you sign a date that God is saying to you, that date was dated from Jesus Christ. It came from heaven down here, and now we date our whole time from him. We went on a little bit more, and he said, Mister, I have been in a lot of churches. I've never heard anything explained to me like this. I've never heard. It's either come forward in the church, or do this, confess that, make him Lord of your life, and that. I said, you can't do one thing to God and make any promises to him that will carry the weight in order for him to give you eternal life. Having eternal life is you receiving what Christ did for you, not what you can do for him, because you can't do enough unless you want to say that you'll never sin again and you're going to plan yourself as God. He knows better than that, and so do you. He says, I've never heard stuff like this, anything about the time dated from Jesus Christ. I never heard anything like that. But he said, that's true, isn't it? I said, well, of course it's true. And that. We sat down, led him to the Lord Jesus Christ. He was thrilled to death. And he says, you know what? I'm sure glad I let you in, because I wasn't sure I wanted to, because I couldn't get a bunch of rumbo jumbo with some of these other preachers. And he said, this makes good sense. He said, you know, I do know now I'm going to heaven. And I have a home there. Jesus paid for my sins. And even some other sins if I do before I die. I said, he paid for them all while you're living. Because to say you're never going to sin again is not true, because we have the old sin nature. And sometimes we flub the dub, but that's the way it is, you know. But we just come back and say, dear Lord, I'm sorry I did that. And help me out. And I'll do my best there not to do that again, you know. And we had a wonderful time. We bowed in prayer. And he said, Mister, I am so glad that you stopped, because I didn't really want to talk to you, because I didn't know what you were going to talk about. You wanted to sell me something or something. And he said, but the thing that impressed me more was, you know, the fact of some things you said, the thing that really got me, that our whole time's dated from Jesus Christ. I mean, when I see the date on here, it's from Jesus. He was here. He said, man, that hit me like a ton of rocks. He said, it really did. And I said, well, different things mean different things to different people, but it is very true that he did come, and every time you signed a date, it's dated from him. So he would have said to your face, how in the world can you go wrong with somebody who loved you like Jesus Christ did? And then he trusted the Lord and thanked me for coming and so forth. I said, you know, I probably never will see you again, but here's a track, and if you'd ever later write me to, let me know how you're doing or that. And I said, the Lord will help you now with your life to get you to do what he wants you to do if you'll start reading your Bible. And I start with the New Testament and read that and some verses in Proverbs, which is the greatest psychologist. There's never been a psychologist that ever was half as good as what God is in the book of Psalms and Proverbs. Proverbs especially. He's a mastermind. And so I left, and that's the last I've ever heard from him since. But what a thrill it is. But you men out there that you're living with another man and doing that, God says you're worthy of death because you mean nothing to him. And yet you know that he is the creator you celebrate Christmas at Easter time. You know that it was here and paid for your sins. Absolutely. You know that it was here. Our whole country celebrates His resurrection. And when He paid for our sins and was resurrected because God raised Him from the dead, because He had already done and paid for the sins of the whole world. Isn't that amazing? That includes you, sir, and so forth. But what a wonderful thing it is to have, thus saith the Lord, right here. And in these verses here that talked about and said over there that if you have an affair with another man, you should be put to death. You're worthy of death. God says, I didn't create you for that. How did you get your mind off on a sidetrack somewhere and get yourself, and you psychoanalyzed yourself and fell for all that garbage? He said, I don't know who you've been running with, but you surely ought to get out from under it. God says, you're worthy of death right now. You don't even understand anything about creation, why God created you, and the things that He's done for you. Probably never gave God credit for it or anything else. But God said, I'll tell you what, you're going to die and go to hell if you don't get your mind straightened out here, and so forth. So anyway, that's what you men are doing when you're saying, well, I'm living with another man. You are one of the biggest misfits. I wouldn't want you as a neighbor next door to me at all. I would witness to you and I would try to lead you to the Lord. But as far as trusting you, when you won't even trust Christ there to pay for your sins, and it's a gift for all eternity, you've got to be a part of your brain that's not working. It either just died, or you set it off to the side and say, I don't want you to be saying anything right to me anymore. I'm happy where I'm at. You're going to die and go to hell, sir. It's that simple. Then don't blame God. He loved you, paid for your sins. And He said, I'd just like for you to be thankful for that, because without me, you all would be going to hell. And thank God that He loved the world, gave His only begotten Son. Whoever believeth in Him would never perish, have eternal life. Then Ephesians 2:8-9 tells us, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It's a gift to God, not of works, or you'd only brag about it, and that's what you're doing. You're bragging about you being able to do what you want to do and so forth, but you won't be bragging when you have to pay the price for it, and that's hell, sir. So you want to keep that in mind. I hope that you change your mind and you trust the Lord Jesus and so forth. These men in here, whether they did or not later, I have no idea. But He says, you're going the way, and if you don't change your mind about how to go to heaven, then you deserve death. You absolutely do. Now, let me say this. I just want to bring a few of these things out. Because when you have enough warped mind to get up and say, I'm running for the President of the United States, and you think you... I mean, do you really think people are this stupid? That they would even think about bringing a pervert like you are. You're a perverted person. You pervert from the Word of God. When He says that's wrong, you say it's right. When you said you shouldn't be doing it, He says, I'll do what I want to do. Good. And if He says, I'm not afraid of going to hell, well, you won't be till you get there, you know. I mean, your mind is so filled full of warped things, Satan says, shut up, Pastor, because he's one of my missionaries. Really? He's one of your missionaries, huh? To sell him how to do all these things that are contrary to the real life that God wants you to live for Him and so forth. I tell you, you're a fool, sir. Only the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And that's exactly what you have done. And you misfits have prayed around out here with this Democratic Party that is so warped anymore. It didn't always used to be that way. And now you let them come into your town and so forth, and the governors or the mayors or the governors of the state sit up there and they're drawing their salary and then you're going to close everything down. And so forth. Folks, you're not in the America I once knew, and I hope it gets back to being the one that I did know, because if it's America, anybody could know. So I'm not on your platform to be thanked or anything else like that, and probably you just keep on hating me, which doesn't bother me one bit, because it doesn't hurt me, sir. You're the one. You are the one who have made this for your life. And you're out here for the lust of the flesh have you sold yourself right straight down to hell, and you make Jesus Christ just a nobody. But he did die for you. That's somebody that you want nobody to do anything with. You'll pay the price. And in hell, a man died, lift up his eyes in hell, being in torment. And, oh, my goodness gracious, Father, how do you get me out of this place, out of this mess, and so forth? You don't get out. It's for all eternity. You sowed to Satan. And I'll tell you what, he's your father, and he'll take care of you in hell, because he'll take so good care of you, you'll never be able to get out. He can't care for you enough to overrule God and let you out of hell. Hell is eternal. And this is the man that brought you into it by the tithe that you run with, and you want to marry another man. God made women and men so that it would replenish the earth. Now, if they were all like you, it would have ended. No, there would be nobody ever born in here. There would be no difference of people or anything. So you see, you're wrong. You're in truly opposite of what God's eyes are as to what your flesh is, and you're in a bad situation, you people that God talks about here in the Bible. And if you have an affair with another man, you deserve to die. That means you're worth nothing on this earth to me or yourself. Only for a few hours of your so-called pleasure, you have blown the whole thing. I don't know how dumb you can be, but it's got to be at top of the line, sir. Well, I thank you for listening this morning, but I want to get out of what these people that are going around saying, oh, well, I'll tell you what now, I'm married to this man over here and so on and so forth. Well, the man that I was witness to led him to the Lord, but if I would have attacked him right away there, I would have been asked to leave. And somebody else, I said, when I left and got the car, I said, dear Lord, out there where he's married to this man, you've got to have another Christian out there that's going to, maybe he'll start going to church, and he would talk to you about the mess that he's in, and you could help him get out of it there. And I pray that, but I got to turn that over to somebody else so I could lead him to the Lord. Don't condemn his sin and then try to lead him to the Lord. He knows he's a sinner, and especially on a situation like I was in. If I would have tacked his married to another man, you would never listen to me for a second, but asked me to leave. Thank you for coming. Appreciate you, but goodbye. Now, our time's slipping away here, and our time's going, so I want to say it's been a privilege to be with you this morning, but I wanted you to listen to some of these things. This isn't right for a person to be married, a man to a man, or for a woman doing things that are unreasonable, and it's just unbelievable. And we're in that day and age today. We just pray, even so come Lord Jesus. And there's nothing in Bible prophecy that has to be fulfilled until the rapture comes and Christ appears in the clouds, and by his power, every Christian is taken up to meet with him and taken right straight into heaven. That's the next event, which is the great event. The Messiah comes again. Thank you for being with us. It's been a privilege to do this. And we hope that you'll get your Bible out and do a little bit of study. And what a privilege it is to know what God says about certain circumstances so that we can teach what God says so you'll know the truth and not just making up something ourselves as a pastor or a preacher or anything else, you know. Thank you for the privilege of being with you today. It's really been wonderful to do that. And we'll pray, even so come, Lord Jesus. We pray that you'll have a wonderful week looking for the Lord to come, and it could be at any time. Even so come, Lord Jesus. Thank you for being with us. Have a wonderful week. Look forward to you next Sunday if the rapture hadn't taken place. Thank you.